Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey, it's the Flash After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we're breaking down part two of the big season three crossover, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yo, 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 it's the big crossover. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good. Good answer. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Part two is what we're talking about tonight. It started with Supergirl last night.
Did it?
I have some strong feelings about that.
Yes.
I think we all do. Let's do some quick intros and we'll get right to it. I'm Jeffrey Masters. I tweet from Jeff Masters 1.
I'm Tiana Hobson and I'm at the Tiana Hobson.
I'm Yael Teagle. I'm everywhere at Yael Teagle and I'm in the chat with you all. So hello.
I'm Tari J. Miller. I'm at Tari J. T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y.
Thank you, Tari. And of course, we're also doing a crossover with our after shows at AfterBuzz TV. So please welcome Lex Michael.
That is me. I am all over social media at The Lex Michael. I'm really excited to be here, guys. Thank you very much for having me.
Of course. Which DC after shows do you do at AfterBuzz?
The rest of them. I'm on Supergirl. I'm on Arrow. I'm on Legends of Tomorrow. This is the only place that I have not somehow seeped into, and now
I'm here.
Yeah. I have seeped. The seepage has begun.
Yeah. You're like the Oliver Queen of the panels.
Sure.
Yes, because he's only been not on Supergirl, you see.
You're right. Okay. Yes. I like it.
Thank you for explaining that. I have no idea what you meant.
Cool.
Yeah. Can we talk about how this is the first part of the crossover? That it's a three-night crossover. We were lied to. It is three-night crossover. Last night was not actually part of the crossover.
Everything that was part of the crossover last night could have just happened tonight.
Oh, and wait, it did.
So why did we need that in last night's episode?
No, guys, it was two halves. See, the first half was on Legends last week, and then... This week.
This is why you're not allowed in the chat.
I thought I went out of the chat. I'm sorry. It's off.
Okay, sorry, but were you saying
it's all ruined. I'm leaving. We had the first half on last week's Legends, and then we had the second half on yesterday's Supergirl. You see, so they made one whole episode, and then we have the last three. You
see, they didn't re-show me what we saw on Legends last week, though.
On Legends is wedding. That's true. They didn't show us them getting the call.
I'm sorry. For the people watching our show who have not seen Legends and me, what happened last week?
At the very end of the episode last week, they get a call from...
yeah.
Someone,
the
present. They're like, our friends in 2016 need our help. That we gotta go.
That was pretty
and
much
that was it.
It was, we're on the in the middle of our story arc.
Oh, time
wait,
out.
We got this call.
Right. So, yeah, together, squash that together, it makes one whole episode.
But the marketing is a four-night crossover.
But it sounds so much more impressive. You know, so, okay, my defense of it is this, because it was definitely more of a Supergirl episode than it was a first of a four-part crossover. My defense is twofold. One, their mid-season finale overlaps with the start of this crossover, so they had a lot of threads that they needed to tie up before they... left, and I think their time was better spent probably doing that than building to a crossover. On top of that, it felt to me like when comic books do crossovers, it feels very much like a road to tie-in. If you're a super nerdy listener, you read comics, you're gonna know what I'm talking about. Like right now, Marvel Comics doing Civil War 2, and they have all their main tie-ins, but a lot of the books will have tie-in issues that say road to Civil War 2. So they're a lead-up, prelude to the crossover without being fully immersed in the crossover story.
Absolutely. Right. I think that, I watched the episode in the very last minute when Barry was like, hey, we're here, cut to black. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. But I think it's a brilliant marketing move. Last night, this whole crossover, it was just a giant ad for Supergirl. You know, that moved to CW this season. People haven't seen it. I haven't seen it until last episode. And there was it was such a great Supergirl episode last night that it made me want to watch the show.
And it's why it worked, because they got people like you who don't watch watch the show, to tune into the show.
Oh, absolutely.
So that you thought you were going to need to watch that show to get the rest of the week.
I agree. My argument is just this, because for those who know, I'm a big SVU fan, and SVU likes to cross over with the other Law & Orders, and it's the same way that last night was a crossover. It's the same thing where at the end of the episode, someone shows up and goes, "We need your help on our show." It's, and that's fine as a crossover. Calling it Four Nights is the misleading part. I think had they said a four-part, four-show crossover, I would have been more accepting.
I think it's marketing.
I know, and I'm arguing with it's the semantics sexy. Of it.
Yeah, I was going to be like, dude, it happened, like, it started yesterday.
Girl,
which
you
was
need
tonight,
to calm down.
And then tonight, tomorrow
I'm
night.
I'm just saying it was misleading. So let's talk about this.
Yeah, so all of us clearly are, like, up on all the four shows. I don't watch Supergirl or Legends. It's okay. But for people who are not so as, like, in depth with all four, do you think that this four parts crossover, seeing Supergirl last night, is going to make people say, like, wow, the show's great, and, like, wow, I want to watch it because it's great, but also because I need to know what's going on in my own show?
Yeah, I loved the way this episode dealt with that, where Kara goes, let me say all of your names and you tell me which superhero you are, and then Oliver going, let me tell you the story of how both my parents died, because this is relevant. I think it was so great, this episode. I feel like if you never watched any of the shows and you're jumping in now, this is the episode to jump in with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What do we think about the big bad of the week / big week, the aliens?
They're cute.
So adorable.
So adorbs.
They're like
no?
Tribbles.
Oh, sorry.
I wish they were Tribbles.
For me, I think jury's out a little bit, because these Dominators are not really the Dominators from the comics. A big part of the inspiration for this crossover is the crossover event Invasion from 1989. And in that, the Dominators basically put together this alliance of all of these nefarious alien species, but they're largely cool to chill and manipulate without engaging directly. And it seems like these Dominators, so far anyway, little more hands-on, a little more aggressive, a little more like, we got our machine, but we're gonna get in it a little bit more. Which is fine. They look great.
Yeah, they do. And there are so many of them. They were moving fast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not happy about the name Dominator. It just doesn't
do it
for me.
I think it's hilarious. The jokes that it presents, I think it's beautiful. Lex, I think, has something to say.
No,
nerd,
just,
please speak.
No, you know what? So I remember watching it and turning to Tari immediately after that line where it's like, well, you know, ever since we got our first briefings about it, we've been calling them the Dominators. And I turned to Tari and I'm like, why? Is it because you read it in a comic book that you liked from 1989? Okay, but like, it is in keeping with the tone of much of the rest of the episode, but it did seem a little bit like, why that name?
I also love that Lila was like, okay, here's what's going on. I have a full presentation. Here's the PowerPoint. Here's the voice call.
I love that. I love that we had Lila coming in and going, there's a history to this. This is something that has been here before. Anybody who watches Torchwood, it very much reminded me of Torchwood Children of Earth.
Yes.
That season. It felt like that. Like, they came before, and we did this thing, and they left, and now they're here again, and we're not sure what they want this time.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. That season made me cry.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're saying.
Nobody else does. Don't worry about it.
I thought that she was a great device for exposition, mm-hmm. and, like, the story got moving really, really fast, mm-hmm. and I think that was awesome.
Yeah, they didn't take a lot of time catching us up because, like y'all said, they found ways within the story to weave in the parts mm-hmm. for people who didn't know who these other characters were.
Yeah, and also they're at an advantage because I've never seen Supergirl, but when she comes on screen, I'm like, oh, it's Supergirl! And I love Melissa Benoist, who plays her, so, like, we don't need an introduction.
Yeah.
Right.
You know it's Supergirl.
Skirt. I love that.
So sexist.
People are worried in the chat that we are not liking Supergirl. I want to be very clear that I believe a lot of us here love Supergirl.
Yeah,
it is my favorite of the four shows.
Two of the panel are on that panel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I ship Supergirl and the Flash. The Slash.
Oh.
Is that their name? Slash?
No.
Blooper Girl?
Is this Jeff's last day?
So offensive.
Flag girl.
But you talked about how quickly they got into the story, and I love that, especially when Yael, you were talking about how you were frustrated that there wasn't enough crossover last night. Immediately, like the second shot, it's like, look, here they all are in one glory shot.
Yes.
That moment, I don't know about you guys, for me, that shot of Speedy, the Legend, Spartan, and then Supergirl drops in, it was a little bit like seeing the Avengers assembled on screen for the first time for me. I'm like, I'm freaking out.
And the fact that they got Speedy to join in. Like, Speedy, who's been sitting on the sidelines for all of this season, was like, I'm not missing the aliens.
Yeah, y'all. I love it didn't take any convincing at all.
She's like, City Hall can wait. I'm going to fight aliens.
And Cullen Prime points out something that you definitely were so excited about in the episode where they all gathered.
Okay, so when they said, oh yeah, we've got this old hall that Star Labs owns, and we see the shot of the building, I dang near jumped out my skin, guys.
Did Cullen Prime.
It's the Hall of Justice, which in the comics is the headquarters of various iterations of the Justice League, although past a certain point, it does become largely ceremonial, and their actual headquarters is a floating satellite in space.
Yes.
The Watchtower. Yep.
Casket Fan in the chat, if we want to talk about ships, Casket Fan, sorry, says, hashtag Super Canary, and absolutely,
yes.
Canary goes, she's hot. Yes. Yes, I ship it. I want that. Super Canary. I'm in.
More than Slash?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you not Carrie. Know how offensive that is?
Guys, it's all about caramel.
Okay.
No.
Carmon. Okay, I don't want to do this.
And then the West Allen people join in. Where are the snowberries?
Snowberries unite.
They got their kiss last week, okay?
I will say, too, like, we're talking about how fast the story got going in a great way, and like seeing the gang together was just so exciting. And they needed that. They needed it really fast, just coming after last night. You know, it was such a letdown, as we said earlier, to see, like, oh, there's Barry. So to have it open up with me a little bit down, but then saying, like, yes, we're all here. I was jumping in my seat.
Yeah.
Squeal-worthy.
It was very
squeal-worthy.
And the fact that we got to spend so much of the episode with them all just hanging out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the best. And even there were a couple of points in the episode where I almost felt like, oh, wait, we're stopping to have more character moments. And then immediately I didn't mind because they're so great.
Yeah, especially the one between Kara and Mick.
Yes.
Which was fantastic.
It was, are you talking about, I'm not going to call you Supergirl. Yes. Stupid. So it felt like we're on a mission. That was what I'm talking about. It's like we stop cold for a second to have this character moment, which is then so charming and strong that I'm okay that we stopped our story for a minute.
Right.
I agree. It's such a comic book moment, too. Like, you can just see, like, the two panels they dedicate to this little moment. Skirt. Yeah. I'll call you Skirt.
It was really great because then he shouts, help me, Supergirl.
Yes, immediately.
Immediately. So I think that it all comes down to this. Felicity said it best. Best team up ever.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I'm taking away from this whole episode is best team up ever.
Oh, and on that note, let's talk about death.
Oh, yay!
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. That what?
What?
Heatwave tells us that Snart sacrificed himself in Legends of Tomorrow.
Adam tells us this.
Who's Adam?
Ray Palmer.
Oh, that's one else. Yeah. Okay, well, we are told.
One of them legends.
That happened. Was that in Legends of Tomorrow?
Yes, that was the season finale.
Oh, I cannot believe that kept, like, secret from me for so long.
Watch the show. It was such a big secret.
Read an article or something. Like, Entertainment Weekly talks about these shows all the time.
Never heard of it.
Pick up a magazine.
I wonder, though, if they're alienating with aliens. I wonder if they're alienating people who feel like, darn it, I can only watch one or two of these shows. I can't watch all four. I'm not going to watch any of them.
I think that people who want to watch all four make sure they can watch all four. And then other people, there are a lot of people who only watch one or two, and they say, I only want to watch these, and I don't care to watch the others. So they aren't upset at these spoilers.
No, yeah. And I mean, I only watch two of them, but, like, I don't feel like I'm missing out. Like, when the crossovers happen, and we hear about Diggle's daughter / son / not, that I want to ask you guys about later. Like, I didn't feel like, oh, darn it, I can't keep up.
And see, I'm the kind of person who I can't stand not getting the inside joke, so I mean, as everyone knows, I caught up on all these shows over the summer. I started off with The Flash and immediately noticed that I wasn't getting references to Arrow, and I stopped everything and went back and started Arrow from season one. Mm. Because I can't be that person who doesn't get the inside joke.
You have, yes. So, you have so much free time.
I mean, I had a very cool summer. I just watched DC shows all day, every day. Okay?
She's cool for the summer.
I would have loved if you had gotten to the end of Arrow and been like, those jokes still don't make any sense.
But I, and we got a tweet from RC Fury, and he said the producers did say at Comic-Con and Entertainment Weekly that it was a three parts before the crossover.
I love
so
it.
So I'm just,
thank
I
you.
Knew you needed to hear that.
I feel better.
I'm glad to hear that too.
Such a great Fortnite night crossover.
Just very quickly, Tiana, yes. How, are you caught up in Arrow?
I am.
Okay, how did they explain in Arrow the fact that Flash on Flash's show caused the gender of his child to change?
They had one scene, I believe, earlier this season. It was Felicity's talking to Barry, and
it was on Flash.
Yes.
Yeah, it was like it was on. I can't remember.
It was on the Flash when he goes back. He talks to Felicity, and she says something about Diggle's son.
But how do they explain it on the show Arrow?
On Arrow, no one remembers well, yeah, that he has a daughter.
Felicity was the only person who knew. She didn't tell anyone.
I'm sorry, I'm not phrasing the question. How do they explain it to the Arrow audience?
They didn't.
Oh. Sorry.
So they used the flashback from the Flash Arrow, or the Flash episode where he explains it to Felicity, in the previously on Arrow section.
Yes,
so go, it was, you get that that piece and you're like, oh, I guess that's relevant, because in that episode you see, you meet, John Diggle Jr.
Fascinating.
Yes.
Yeah, everyone in the chat is correcting me. My apologies that they used the same episode on Arrow.
Oh, okay.
I just felt like they just didn't explain it. They just went on with him having a son.
I was curious how that was handled.
Are we going to talk a little bit about the reveal?
Oh, I thought we were actually done. We are out of time.
Yes.
What do you want? I'm sorry.
Good crossover.
Talk about what?
The reveals of all the things that are different.
Yeah.
So, yes, let's talk about what's all different, yeah, and like, who has the right to be angry and who doesn't yes. have the right to be angry.
So Diggle finds out that he has a son and not a daughter and is furious, except that he has a kid.
He didn't have two kids, and then it went down to one.
Right, he had one kid. The kid was like three at most. It's not like it had a life.
He also had no relationship with this daughter that he knows of. Like, he has no memories of that. It never happened.
It's not like he lost this daughter.
I agree.
She didn't exist to him.
And as a father, can he be sad that his son isn't his daughter anymore? Because then you're kind of like, oh man, I wish I had a daughter instead of my son.
No.
So that makes me kind of a bad parent, you know?
The only appropriate response is, oh wow. That would be interesting.
Yes.
Well, I mean, conceptually though, I mean, he did literally erase someone from existence. So, like, by that concept, him rewriting the timeline killed that girl.
Or did he just change the baby's gender? It's the same kid, just a different gender.
So, all right, man, I don't want to have this conversation. But, like, so, that begs the question, if you and your brother are not the same person, you both came from the same bits of DNA, but you're... Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you even know if you have a brother. Doesn't matter. You and your sibling are not the same person. So, I mean, basically, John Diggle Jr. is a completely different person. So Sarah existing doesn't mean that, like, they were one and the same. It just means that Sarah never existed and John Diggle Jr. did. So, like, it's not changing the gender. You killed Sarah by changing time.
But he doesn't
and then
remember
created
her.
Another I know, but,
let's
like,
just say,
conceptually...
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but John Diggle, just be hashtag blessed you have a baby. And
yeah,
stop being
father.
A drama queen. Because there's millions of people out there who want kids and can't have any for whatever reason, and I've actually gone through the loss. Cisco lost his brother. Like, one moment he was alive, the next moment he's dead. And I know that everyone knows I'm over Cisco being evil. Well, not evil, but mad at Barry. Just because I missed the old Cisco. And I've gotten a lot of tweets tonight saying that they're on my side with this one. And I'm sorry, Yale. I know that it sounds insensitive, but I'm just over it.
No, I'm 100% on your side. He was angry for a couple episodes. We had that storyline. As if you were like, we did it. We were there. Thank you, honey. Like, go home. Yes?
I agree that Cisco shouldn't be behaving the way he's behaving. His behavior this episode, ridiculous. But, yes, he should still be mourning the loss of his brother, and he will for a long time.
Yeah, I like that you guys' reason for not liking Cisco is basically, I'm bored as an audience member. But it's like,
that's
dude,
a valid response. No,
he literally lost his brother. I like that we're getting a realistic grieving process.
He's okay. Not allowed to be mad at Barry.
He
any longer.
He's allowed to be mad. I think his behavior can't be this reckless. He's being a jerk, as
who's
Jean
your friend?
Says.
No, it's a coworker.
I mean, That's the kind of passive aggressiveness that I'm just over, and I get that you can still be mad. And like Jeff said, we had the storyline, we had them fight it out, and I'm just thinking, okay, at least take the steps to act cordial around this person. You don't have to go back to being best friends, but every other word out of your mouth doesn't have to be a dig at him.
Right.
That's Aisha, what I'm over.
Aisha in the chat says, Cisco shouldn't have undermined Barry to the group. And I agree. I agree. Donovan says, also, Cisco stayed angry, very right. Barry needs to stay punished for Flashpoint. That's how I feel. Also, someone likes that I said ridiculous.
I just feel like at this point, there's nothing Barry can say that will make Cisco like get over it. I'm not saying it'll. I know it'll take time, and that sounds insensitive. But like at this point in time, like you can't keep having these jabs.
I think his jabs are inappropriate. His grief is very appropriate.
Yes.
I think his behavior because of the grief is inappropriate, and people grieve and are able to live their lives and not bring that in.
And that's what he needs to have, a separation of church and state in his mind.
Lex has something to say.
I've been listening to all of these arguments, and I feel like I come down somewhere in the middle, because ultimately, Tari, I largely agree with you. I think we're not really through this because there's been no resolution to this story yet, and we need to arc it effectively. This isn't something that's too big for them to just drop it. I also agree not all of these moments totally land. I think a lot of the moments of whether it's passive aggressiveness or anger from Cisco, very hit or miss for me. Like, you know, we're coworkers. That doesn't quite work. A lot of tonight, though, really worked for me. Because even though you can argue that, yes, Barry, once the group elects him as a leader, shouldn't be undermined in that way, The Flash, for my money, has always been the show that has been, more than anything else, about heart. And it felt like such a raw, honest, emotional response, more so than a logical one, for Cisco to basically out this other phenomenally large lie of Barry's in front of everybody else.
This is the second time that Cisco outed someone.
It is.
And I'm going to say it. I'm glad that Cisco doesn't seem to have any gay friends, because it's unacceptable.
Good thing he's not on Supergirl.
Yeah, he would have outed Alex.
Yeah, at Thanksgiving, before she got a chance to tell her mom.
That's true, they almost came through that portal.
Yeah.
Going back to what Lex said about Cisco, for the last two seasons...
His gay friend. Pipe Piper.
And
the police chief.
Go ahead.
The police chief.
They're not friends.
You're right.
And they're out.
For the last two... We're so mad about Cisco, because... For the last two seasons, he's been the heart of the show. He's been this, like, bright, juicy placenta that we've been munching on.
Girl.
And has been feeding us and adding joy to our lives.
Oh.
And that joy has been taken away from the show. The show.
Thank you, Alexis.
That joy has been taken away from the show.
I disagree.
I totally blacked out for a moment and missed everything Jeff said. What'd he say?
He said something about moist, juicy placenta.
Oh, okay, so it was kind of like a vagina thing. Got it.
Yes, so, but I disagree. I think that, I think that him having this these other layers allows the other characters to shine and be more playful, especially now that we have a playful Wells. It allows us to not have too much of these characters who are just like one-dimensionally light characters, and it allows us to have a wider breadth of development for these other characters who were just comedic relief.
I don't agree, but I will say if I did, that is why it's been such a joy to see Wally West get powers, because he loves his powers. His powers make him so happy. His powers are
like
a little personal placenta that he can feed on himself.
Stop! The chat is really not enjoying this metaphor. Neither is our engineer.
And that is why I just love the Wally storyline. It's a, like a joyful part of the show.
Before we move on to Wally, are we going to talk about the...
We still have to figure out like who Barry's had the right to be mad and who didn't have the right to be mad.
Sorry. My mistake. I thought I was the lead host.
As I said I went, I'm pulling an Oliver and leading the show.
Are we just supposed to pretend like we don't hear you?
Yeah.
Who has the right to be mad about what?
No, I want to talk about the voicemail that Barry sent from the future.
Yeah. Kick us off. I was so curious about the voicemail because it was from 40 years. I think we dated it.
Yeah, so you're not on Legends of Tomorrow where this is a big mystery there and two of their... So Stein and Jax found it and weren't... It says in the voicemail, do not tell the rest of the crew. And so they didn't. Because on their show, they don't tell their secrets to each other.
Then no one's there to out them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they have the voicemail on a previous episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
We've had it for a couple weeks now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've been wondering what was said in there because all we hear is the
don't
first
tell.
Don't tell the crew. And then you're like, what do you say?
We've not met an old Flash, right?
No.
Okay. I just think it's so...
No, we met an old Arrow.
Yes.
Right. Well, I mean, technically, guys, when he goes back in time, there's an older Flash that stops him from saving his mother. So,
true. Like, older. We haven't seen, like, Grant Gustin in old man face.
That's true.
A different Flash.
Yeah, he's from a different Earth.
Well, Flash. It's implied,
a different old Flash.
It's implied that the one that disappears in the newspaper is the one that goes back, and so essentially he's older by at least 20 years.
My head hurts.
Boom!
I need a drawing of this.
I thought the most compelling part of this was that 40 years in the future, it's still like lagging on his mind to say, like, I need to send this secret message.
That is how good this crossover will be. They will be talking about it 40 years.
Trey in the chat says, why was the voicemail on an old school iPod Nano? And I have a theory on that.
It's like a record player. In 40 years, it's vintage. Yeah. Is that your theory?
I feel so
old.
No, but
so good. So good. Yes, East Blue Drew has F. I'm censoring it. This episode was so effing good. Yeah, it really was. We're just loving every minute.
I agree.
You had a theory on this iPod Nano, though, that you were going to tell us about, and then you started talking about the F word.
My theory was, because it's recorded into the, like, voicemail of the machine, they have to record it onto something, and all they have is, like, well, I guess an iPod Nano will work. That was my theory.
Nice. I like it.
Thanks.
Cool story, bro.
Yeah.
So what made me angry after hearing this voicemail was Sarah. And, and I'm sorry, just as someone who rushed through all of Arrow, she's always kind of gotten on my nerves anyway, so maybe it's a personal thing. But when she gets mad at Barry and it's like, you can't go around changing the timeline, I'd stop myself. Biatch, hold up, wait a minute. Other people stop you every chance you get to stop you from killing people who would bring back your sister. It is a constant struggle for you to not change the timeline. So don't treat Barry like he's just some idiot who did something stupid.
The Legends have zero right as a ship of time travelers to complain about people changing time.
They built a show around it.
All they do is mess with time, and their rules of time travel seem to be very different than the rules of time travel of the Supergirl. Well, I guess she doesn't affect because she's on Earth 38.
Right.
But Flash and Arrow have one set of time travel rules, and Legends has their own.
The Legends time travel rule is basically don't think about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Which they have no right
to complain. Yeah, it absolutely feels a little bit more like a necessary emotional beat for Barry than it does consistent characterization for Sarah across multiple shows. Having said that, it's about time a room full of people Barry respects finally essentially had a time intervention for him, because he's been needing to hear this for about 2 years.
His dad gave it to him. His dad, who's not his dad anymore, but the not dad.
Yes.
But think about like when your dad says, you gotta cut this out. It's different than when all your friends sit you down and go, you gotta cut this out.
But it's not different when that dad's been locked up for 12 years and you don't have like face-to-face contact with him.
And then let's also not forget that like the vortex of time and stuff kind of gave Barry an ass whooping before he went back and was like, you need to stop messing with the timeline because it's bad.
So
and
the
then
chat
he still went and did it.
Though,
I just wanted to read some things from the chat. Davey says the Legends have every right to criticize Barry for creating Flashpoint. I disagree. Maxwell says they got mad because Barry messes it up and they have to clean it up. And then there was something. I lost it. Go.
While you're looking for the next one, we'll just say that we do this every Tuesday at 9:10 Pacific Standard Time-ish, 9:10-ish. If you want to chat along with us, live tweet us. We love hearing from you. Thank you. Tari, what were you saying?
I was going to say, yeah, that was great.
Thank you.
I was just going to say that I do, though, out of all that happened, I like the implication that Barry messing with the timeline is what is causing the Legends to deal with all these aberrations. I mean, it's also... If you watch Legends, you know that it's actually Reverse Flash. But that is also a result of Barry changing the timeline.
Yeah.
That is a direct thing.
I agree with what you're saying, Tari. And I do feel like more than whether or not any specific complaint is justified or not, I feel like it really is all just we're giving examples of a bunch of different things Barry changed so that we can all as a group collectively go, what gives you the right, young man? And that much worked for me.
And yeah, people who had no like nothing affected, like their lives weren't affected by it. And why are you getting so upset about it?
That's true. And whether or not they're justified in their anger or not, I will never forgive them for leaving Barry and Arrow home alone while they go to fight off these aliens alone. There's an alien invasion. It's all hands on deck, bitches.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a group together for a reason.
Right.
And didn't it end up being better that they weren't there? Or do you think Oliver would have realized it was a trap before the trap went off?
There's always a trap. Always anticipate a trap.
I appreciated that someone shouted it. That someone shouted, it's a trap!
Because yeah, fish head guy came out and just...
Yes.
Did they vaporize the president?
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Is
the
that what happened?
Gone.
Uh-huh.
How do we deal with this as a nation?
As a nation?
Pence takes over.
Yeah, Mike Pence is taking over.
Maybe we can get the president from Supergirl's Earth to come over.
There we go. She'll step or we'll clone her.
Yeah, we'll clone her, bring her over.
Either way, it's a good thing all these heroes are already assembled because that is not going to be a peaceful transition.
What's her name? Diane Wonder Woman. What's her name? Who plays
Linda Carter?
Linda Carter.
Yeah.
How oh, it's dare the you? Character name's Diane.
Yeah,
yes.
Diana.
Yes, yes,
yes, Diana.
Diana. Yes.
I'm doing really well.
I
wait. Linda Cartwright plays her in Supergirl. They should bring her over. I got it.
Did I get it?
You say Cartwright?
Yeah, so close.
Cartwright.
Oh, darn. The president dies, but on Supergirl, nice. Linda Carter plays the president. They should just bring her over.
There you go.
Print that take.
All right. Flashpoint can't take me down. What do we think about this weird Victor Garber storyline with his daughter?
Oh.
Again, another Legends thing that's been happening is he's been having these flashes and he didn't know who this woman was he was seeing in there, but...
Oh.
Because he didn't have a daughter before.
That's not a Firestorm? Firestarter?
Firestorm.
That's not a Firestorm, like, power, having, like, premonition visions, right?
No, it's kind of implied that he is essentially, like, his memories are syncing up with his current timeline.
Oh.
So now that they're back in 2016, you could imagine that like his brain has to update with the current time that's happening. Though I imagine they live outside of time.
Interesting.
Which I think is why he's dealing with it like this, whereas Diggle, he had a son instead of a daughter.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But he did give the I love you back. He didn't like freeze and say, thank you. At least.
But I'm going like, okay, so his wife's not there. So far, he hasn't had visions of his wife dying. Is his wife dead? And if his wife's dead, that was still an incredibly uncomfortable exchange for his daughter. Like, once he walks away not knowing where his wife is, she's going to have to, like, sit and just reflect for a little while.
Well, I think she thinks that he's clearly, like,
out of it.
Getting older.
Yeah. And maybe that's, like, Caitlin's maybe, like, from the home and, like, brought him over.
Because what makes me think that she might be dead is her reaction when he first said, I'm looking for my wife, she's not here. I'm like, you know, like, that. Does that mean you buried her and, like, you just haven't gotten that memory back yet? Or is she, like, on vacation visiting her parents?
I so... No, I so badly then, if that's the case, hope that at some point we get a Victor Garber as Martin Stein, "You killed my wife!" scene, where he just yells at Barry. It'd be amazing.
That'd be great. I also like that his last words to her, if she is dead, his last words to his daughter were, tell my wife I'll see her soon. He's like, are you gonna kill yourself?
What's like wacky, dark foreshadowing.
Aww. Guess we'll have to wait for Thursday to see how that one pans out, huh?
Ooh.
Why not Wednesday?
Because I feel like his storyline will wrap up on Legends Day.
Gotcha. I really appreciated the moments with Caitlin Snow being like, you're not Killer Frost yet. And like, you might not be evil.
I wanted the way that this episode was going with our team being half mind controlled. I wanted the episode to end when they're attacking Oliver and he's out of arrows. I thought that would have been a great place to end. And that next week or next episode, so tomorrow, Snow has to become Killer Frost to help. Like, that's what I wanted. I want her to have to do it to be helpful and then be Frost and not Killer Frost.
I agree, and I think that will fit in with the storyline. Mm-hmm. Again, all hands on deck.
Yeah.
The world's ending, but you're afraid to turn evil. Just save the world.
Oh my gosh, guys. Easy fix. Cisco should just vibe all the Dominators off to a different Earth that we hate. End of story. Problem solved.
And the crossover, the credits play over a montage of, like, Earth 48 being devastated by the Dominator. And then, like, all the Legends and Team Arrow, Flash, they're all having cocoa together.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't affect our timeline. It'll be great. But Caitlin's talk with Stein actually reminded me of the point you brought up last week, Tari, when I was like, why is she automatically evil and not, like, a normal person? Mm-hmm. And he was telling her, like, just because you have the powers doesn't mean you have to become her. And it was kind of that talk of what you said of, you know, her being scared because that's the only vision that she has of these powers is associated with evil. And I was like, oh, leave it to Dr. Stein, or Professor Stein, to be the one to be like, hey, kiddo, you don't have to be evil. You can be like Sunshine Snow instead of Killer Snow.
In the chat, someone says to send the Dominators to the Mime Earth. Agreed.
What is a mime earth?
The mime where there was mime wells.
Remember, he was the one I voted for.
And then Donovan says, send the Donators to Gotham. yep.
They should just vibe in the big gorilla, King Kong. What's his name?
Grodd.
It's so
It's like you don't watch this show.
You're messing up on names that are on this show.
I'm jet lagged.
Oh, yeah, from 3 weeks
Jeff's
ago.
Jeff's first day.
But
I think we made him leader.
I just want to give a shout out to Savitar and Alchemy for sitting this week out.
Yeah.
For just saying, like, yo, aliens, like, let's just have a drink. But not in the alien bar from last night in Supergirl. Let's have a drink somewhere else.
Yeah.
JK.
Rowling.
JK.
What?
Rowling?
Is that the bar name?
Harry Potter!
JK.
Harry Potter.
Okay. Oh, nice. Gotcha. Yeah.
The audience got it. Don't worry
about it.
Good job. Thanks.
Wally. I
wanted
to talk about Wally.
No, I'm done talking about Wally. We're almost out of time. What do you want to say, Yael, about Wally?
I didn't want to talk about Wally.
You know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about the interesting exchange between Barry and Oliver in, like, the time warp future room with the newspaper.
Yes, good, because everyone wants to talk about the newspaper.
Oh, good, which Oliver describes as, this is a weird-looking newspaper.
Yes.
Great line, Oliver.
He's so basic sometimes.
I felt like this was a scene that was, like, telling me something, like, really important, but it was a little bit too subtle. Like, what did we get from this scene?
Did anyone get the new name on the article? Because I didn't
Julie
see it.
Julie Greer?
Yeah.
Oh.
I can't remember King Kong, but I can remember Judy Greer.
Yeah. Not to be mistaken with Judy Greer.
I also was like, Judy Greer wrote it? That's amazing!
I think we all had that joke at the same time. So, like, the news were changed. Is this just telling us that with Flashpoint, like, more changes are coming?
I think the idea is that means West Allen is not happening.
Oh.
That, we're certainly not set in stone anymore.
Right.
Yeah, like, it was every other time we knew that there was no concern that Iris and Barry would always end up together. They were endgame, they were OTP, and now they seem not to be.
Drama.
Yeah. Or
drama,
she's drama. Just not going to become a journalist.
Yeah, or she dies.
Or she just, you know, has some kids and decides to stay home and take care of them.
Yeah.
Or she's under writing.
Or she goes under witness protection, changes her name to Julie Greer.
And keeps writing. Yeah.
So there are a lot of possibilities.
Do you think, like, season 7 will, like, have a reporter named Julie and be like, what's your last name?
Season 7? That's coming after the winter finale, yo. I don't know for sure.
I mean, it,
yeah.
We're in season 3.
I
thought that Oliver had a really great pep talk, though, for Barry.
I read that, too. Nice pep talk.
Was it my parents are dead?
Well, I like their relationship a lot. I've always liked their relationship a lot, but I love what they get to do with and for each other in this episode, and I love that all season on Arrow, Oliver has been having to step up into this role of teacher and teach these, essentially these young upstarts how to be vigilantes and not get themselves or other people killed. I love that he's now very quietly doing the same for Barry, even though he's like, yes, Barry's in charge. I still have to basically hold your hand and teach you how to do this. And I love that we knew somebody was going to have to give Barry a version of, not everything's your fault, Barry. You got to stop beating yourself up so we can go fight aliens. I'm glad it was Oliver, because this is a level the two of them can connect on that they never have before, and I really like that scene.
Yeah, I agree, because Oliver is always the one who puts the world on his shoulders, and for him to be the one to kind of put that out there really shows how far his character has come. We'll talk about it more tomorrow on Arrow, though.
The question that I had, though, when Oliver shows up with Diggle and Speedy, I was like, you're not going to bring your new team?
They're going to be tomorrow.
Yeah,
you have to wait for their night.
I don't think so.
But you know what? I buy it. I mean, Tari, you're on the panel also, and I know you're caught up. Are you guys caught up?
Yeah.
So then I buy it based on he doesn't trust them not to get killed by aliens. You know what I mean? Like, this is large scale enough that we're getting our time-traveling buddies and our own alien ringer from another dimension. Maybe kids stay home.
But haven't we seen them in previews? For this big...
They definitely show up at some point.
Show up at some point. Fine. That's why I was like, it has to be tomorrow night, because they just didn't want to pay them to go on another show for another week of filming.
Just real quick in the newspaper, sorry, real quick. David in the chat says that Iris never goes to work anymore, so it's not surprising that she's not the writer.
She says she's going to work, but like, I don't believe she actually goes to work.
Yeah, she gets fired real hard.
If Barry got fired, Iris should be fired.
Well, I like, too, that in that episode where he finally leaves, somebody has the comment about, like, don't you ever show up to work anymore, Barry? And then he doesn't have a job.
He'll be at Star Labs more. It's fine.
Yeah. He can help paycheck?
At the museum.
He can help give the tours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You don't need to, because they're on the Segway, so no one needs to give you the
This Star Labs is looking a lot more like Earth 2 Star Labs.
Yes.
The more that HR is there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really like that Wally recruited HR also to be his captain.
I have mixed feelings about it.
Yes.
Because, one, Wells is not... He's not a combatant. He doesn't, like, fight.
Yeah.
And most of his ideas are a parrot version of other people's ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I imagine that he'll give some kind of talk, and he'll, like, help you talk through your own idea, but I doubt that he's going to be a very good... mentor.
He's a slightly more likable, less foppish Gilderoy Lockhart in that sense.
Mm. I don't know who that is.
I like when Wally first asks and HR goes, nah, I love that.
I love that.
That was great. But then when he's like, now that everyone is okay with it, I'll do it. And you're right. I went, shut up, HR.
I'm with you. But then I immediately thought about how much I believe I will enjoy seeing those two characters paired together.
Yes.
I just don't trust him.
Sure. HR.
He wants to write a book, right?
Wait, I'm sorry. You don't trust him to do a good job, or you don't trust him to be, like, good intention?
I don't trust him with good intent, that he has good intentions.
Okay.
I'm sure he'll do a meh job, because what does he know?
Interesting.
He's going to run faster, which I guess is what Wells did to begin with.
Pretty much.
Go faster.
Run, Barry, run.
You know, we're running out of time, but, you know, half the superheroes turned evil. There was a big fight scene. In the middle of the fight scene, there was a sound cue that was kind of weird, like a dum dum of like a drum or a guitar. It sounded faintly Latin. And then there's a sound cue.
Oh, yeah, the sound cue where we all started laughing because it was very weird.
Yes. Yeah. And then they fought some more.
Yes. Dude, that fight between Barry and Supergirl, so good. So the fight good. With everyone else, so good. So it was good. An amazing fight. Yeah, guys, I could watch that for hours.
I could watch them training with Supergirl for hours, where she just stood there, smiling, floating, and everyone just threw everything at her, and like, she didn't move.
It's like, hey, guys, she's bulletproof. Stop firing and your gun fireproof. At her.
Also, like, the resolution of her, like, destroying the device, like, great.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a smart plan.
It's nice to see people who are, like, at the same level paired up and fighting. How do we feel about the abduction?
It's like, gosh, guys, I thought we could have a break, but I guess they just want us to keep going with all this anticipation.
It's like they're going to have another episode.
I mean, gosh, give me a second to catch my breath.
My thought was, we just got them all teamed up. They took away half of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. But, I mean, was anyone else thinking, like, as Barry's watching everyone starting to go, why his reaction wasn't... It was like, get inside! It's like, you're the fastest man here! Like, push everyone inside! Like, do something!
I buy that it takes him a second to adjust to seeing people be abducted by aliens.
Yeah. Yeah, but then... And then that second... And that second goes on a little too long because, like, three people got taken in the time it took him to start going after his boyfriend, Ollie, with arms wide open, just stretching, trying to reach him, and just barely misses him.
Hashtag Flaro.
That's what I was going on. The abduction felt too much. But also, we have another episode tomorrow, so who cares?
Gives you, like, so a excited. Setup for, like, tomorrow night.
This is what we're doing.
Yeah, we're almost on time. Tari, lead us into predictions. What do you think is going to happen?
Ooh!
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions!
Yeah! I mean, based on the sweet next episode preview, we get Dream World, which I find really interesting, because we just had our big fighty-fighty episode where everyone's hanging out together, but now we get the episode that's more cerebral, and so I think that the one to break them all out will be Barry and the B-Team, which is, like, all of...
The Barry team?
The B-Team is the Barry team. With all of, like, the new recruits on Arrow's team. So, like, in the same way that, like, to reference the same type of arc in Young Justice, when all of the Justice League members were out, and the Young Justice team had to break them out as well. So, like...
So you think we'll see, like, Robin?
Yes.
Oh, Robin, my God, I love that prediction.
Nightwing,
the little boy,
bro.
From Gotham will show up.
Yes.
Lex, any predictions for this tomorrow night?
Well, so tomorrow night is Arrow, and this crossover coincides with Arrow's 100th episode, which has been described by producers as a love letter to the show, and it seems like they're going to be bringing up story elements from all the way back to the very beginning. We're going to see almost every character they could conceivably bring back. I'm very excited. As somebody who's been watching Arrow since the beginning, it's the foundation of this entire universe. I'm very excited about that element. I also agree with the prediction that this is probably when we bring in the reserve team. We get the younger vigilantes. Maybe we get Caitlin and Cisco off the bench. If not, I predict by part three, they'll be vibing and shooting ice everywhere.
Right.
I'm really excited.
Do we think that a big character is going to die in the crossover?
I think that would be so bold for this universe of shows. No. I think it would be really, like, I'd be heartbroken, but it would be so drastic and bold and wonderful, but I don't think they're going to do it. Especially not on Arrow's 100th episode.
Okay, yeah, I agree.
It's just, there's so many people involved now, and I'm trying to think on the shows, like, we already had deaths in some of them, and it's like, who would actually be...
Significant
yeah. enough to lose, and I can't see that happening.
And with the breadcrumbs that have been laid, though, I could see them taking it, not in this crossover, but I could see them taking out Iris, especially since we had that little piece where Iris didn't write the article. Now we know that her future is kind of in flux. So that would be the character that I imagine them taking out.
Ooh, I would be hard-pressed to think that they would take out
Iris West, personally. But lucky for us, we're out of time, so all the final word on that. Lex, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
When is the Arrow tomorrow night airing? Is it?
That is at about 10:10 Pacific.
Yes.
Fantastic. Oh my god, Atari's on that panel as well. Where can the good people find you till then?
All over social media at the Lex Michael.
Fantastic, Tari.
You can find me at Tari J, TariJay.
I'm Yael Teagle. You can find me everywhere at Yael Teagle. That's YaelTygiel. And I have a podcast. It's called Intimate Interrogations. Through the winter, we will have all the episodes available from episode one. So if you haven't heard them, they're all there. And then we'll be back at some point.
And you can find me at the Tiana Hobson. And also this Friday, I'm going to be on Screen Junkies Flash and Friends talking about all four episodes of the crossover this week as well. So tune into that.
Oh, yay, my word. And I'm Jeffrey Masters. A tweet from Jeff Masters 1. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Those are the hosts only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.